Hello and welcome to the first episode of our brand new podcast series, The Talk. I'm Matt Will Perkins and I used to be the head of news and sport here at URY. And in that role, I spoke to a lot of people from across campus and across York in snatched conversations, interviews about the latest things going on campus. But I never really got the chance to know them. And that's what I want to do in this series. I'm going to be speaking to the people making waves, making headlines on campus and around our city, and finding out a bit more about what makes them tick. Now, in this first episode, I'm speaking to Matt Rogan, who is half of the LGBTQ officer pairing alongside Dan Lloyd at USU. I started off by asking them what it is that makes a fresher want to get involved in the sometimes crazy world of student politics.
Well, the thing is, I've always been incredibly politically, for want of a better word, active. Like, I do a lot of campaigning, as you mentioned, and it's always something that's sort of been in the back of my mind. So when I go to university, I want to make a positive difference. And when I saw there was a role of LGBTQ officer, I thought, well, why not go for that? Because it's something, you know, sort of you want to make that difference. It's a community that you want to represent, sort of fighting for LGBTQ students and sort of trying to make that positive difference. I guess that's sort of why I wanted to go for it, just to sort of fulfill that, I guess.
You mentioned the sort of campaigning stuff before you joined uni. And
yeah.
I kind of want to take you back to that, the long time ago, before we'd heard of coronavirus, before we'd ever been so terrified of bat soup.
Far, far away.
I mean, it does feel like a long time ago now. We're recording this in August, 5 months in lockdown. I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, let's go back, before all of that, to the happy times. Before you came to York. Back home for you, Chelmsford, Essex.
Yes, I'm Essex boy, I guess. It has a slight reputation from, you know, Towie, but it's still nice, you know, home of the beef.
Have you ever watched Towie?
No, and I can say I'm very proud about that.
So you're more of a Maiden Chelsea man? Is that the...
too far. No, I wouldn't say not reality show, like nothing like that, I guess.
Oh.
But yes, I'm from Chelmsford. Practically lived there my whole life before coming to York.
So what made you think I'm going to get involved in my local area?
So it actually goes to, there's someone who worked at my school, a great fella, a guy called Andy Abbott. He worked at my school as, I think he was some sort of maintenance staff, but he organised two amazing campaigns back home. One of them was Defend Our A&E, and the other was Homelessness Is Not a Crime. And I used to work in it's like a volunteer cafe. And we had a gentleman come in who was homeless, and the cafe ran called a suspended coffee system. So other people or yourself could pay for someone else to have coffee. And there was a gentleman who came in called Rob, and that guy died. And I remember just being so upset because I thought there's an injustice here. He's just been left. And Andy organized the campaign against this idea of homelessness being a crime back home, because there was some sort of public space protection order of £100 for anyone found sleeping rough. And then as well as that, the Defending Our A&E, there were planned closures or mergers, I can't remember which one it was, but he organised that campaign as well. And I remember thinking, I want to get involved in something like that. So I spoke to Andy, and he was very welcoming to sort of getting me involved. And one of the things that he offered me in January 2019 was the opportunity to speak at a campaign against library closures. And at this time, I was head boy of my school. It was a sixth form and a school, but I was head boy there. And he invited me along to speak as head boy against why libraries should be closed. And obviously, because it's a massive study outlet for students. And I remember going along, and it was a demo, and I didn't expect the demo to be that big, but I think roughly 1,000 people came. And I just remember speaking in front of that demo thinking, this is representing a group of people and this can make a difference. And it did. The council eventually U-turned on these library closures. And I just thought, if I can make that much of an impact back home, what could I do at university?
When you go to university, it's often seen as the sort of release, right? You know, everything's gone on in Chelmsford. You leave it there. We're going to head over to York and new exciting times, right?
Yeah.
And coming in as a fresher, how did you find that experience?
I was bricking it. I was absolutely bricking it. I remember even sort of the day before just thinking, wow, I'm really going to university tomorrow. I've got no idea what to expect. And then I turn up and it's the first night of freshers. And I get on so well with my flatmates and our sticks are fantastic. And then we've got this whole week lined up. And I just thought, this is brilliant. It's just, you know, I've sort of found my place, as it were.
Can I ask what you were worried about?
I guess it was just sort of like, will I fit in? Like, will I, you know, make those friends as easily? Will I sort of enjoy my course? Will I don't know, be the one that's just made to do the bins in the house all the time? I don't know. But it was just sort of those sort of little things, sort of the ones, and it was always thinking, well, everyone else says it is, but I don't know if that's going to happen. It's all that uncertainty.
Yeah. And then you come to York, and did you immediately get stuck into the LGBTQ network and campaigning around that? Or did it take you a while to find that that was the thing you wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while. I mean, once the UCU elections were sort of being advertised, I thought, is there a role where I could sort of go into it? And I noticed there was the LGBTQ officer role. And I thought, oh, I wonder who that is. And I looked it up and I just thought, well, I'd actually quite like to do this. And sort of from that, that's how I discovered the LGBTQ network. And I thought, this is fantastic. It's a group that campaigns for LGBTQ students. And I thought I definitely would want to do something along those lines. Yeah.
Did you ever worry about being part of the LGBT community pan when you were coming to York?
No, I never worried about it. I've always been very loud and proud, I think, the appropriate phrases. So I didn't ever worry about that. And also kind of one of the other things was just sort of like, will my flatmates be okay with it? And obviously that's another one of those things where it was just sort of in the back of your mind. But they were lovely. They it wasn't ever a big deal about it or something. So it was just great.
Do you think there are particular challenges for LGBTQ freshers coming in, not just this year, but any year?
Yeah, God. I mean, for some people where they don't quite, they're not sort of figured themselves out yet. Sort of like where they're not too sure and it's sort of like an exploration journey. I definitely think that could probably be incredibly daunting.
How would you speak to someone who came to you and said, I'm UC University, just joined, and uni's the place where I'm starting to discover myself? Because it is for so many people, right?
Yeah.
What advice would you give them?
Yeah. Before any advice, I would always tell someone, how you feel is how you feel. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. You are completely valid and you are loved. I would always start off by saying that, because I think that's something that is just so important to hear. Because for some people, I mean, even for myself coming out, I mean, I feel I had to come out twice, once as gay, once as pan, because there was always that thing in the back of my mind, is it really though? Is it really pan, or you just because you've only ever dated boys? And I wish I could just tell myself, you feel how you feel, you can't change that, and that's perfectly okay. Even if you're not too sure, there's nothing wrong about it.
Let's talk about the challenges with pansexuality in particular. Because there's often things that you hear where it's people saying, pan is just bi. Pan's not real, right? And there's people that say that. And
yeah,
I want to actually ask about the impact that has on you, on people in general.
I mean, I guess this whole pan isn't real, even bi isn't real. It's like water off a duck's back because I've heard it so much. But for some people, it must just be like being forgotten. Like, sort of someone being told that it's not valid. And for me, I guess it was just, because like I said, I've only ever dated boys. I've never dated a girl, but that does not take away from my sexuality. That doesn't take away from my identity. And that is just something massive I wish I could say to everyone who identifies as bi, as pan. And also that sort of idea that they're the same thing. I mean, well, you can define it however you want to, but for me, it's, I guess bi has been more sort of, I guess just sort of one, well, bi meaning two is in one or the other. I guess with pan, it's just sort of all like wide range. But that's, I mean, again, that's how I've always viewed it. Someone else might view it differently. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it exists and it is valid and is real.
As we sort of move towards the back end of this, you've campaigned, as you say, on stuff that's probably wider than just LGBTQ issues when you've been at home, right? And, you know, you are someone who's political, who's a campaigner, who's passionate about issues. Outside of your LGBTQ officer realm, is there an issue where you think, I want to make this better in York?
Oh, good question. Another thing that I'm fairly passionate about is, well, obviously libraries, but we've been there, done that. But also, I guess, just sort of put me on the spot here. I guess I would have to probably say just sort of, for want of a better word, generic sort of well-being for young people.
What do you think are the challenges that young people face?
For some young people, I think it's just the challenge of what am I going to do for my future? For some people, I mean, for example, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to do in my future. I don't know whether in 4 years time, I'm going to still be here, or I'm going to, carry on my job as a tutor, going to teaching, whether I take my degree further, whether I go into politics. I've got an idea. That's something I'd say students would need a lot more, to sort of like career guidance, which I think at York is fantastic with the sort of sandwich year opportunities that people have. Because, like yourself, you're going on a placement, aren't you?
Yeah, I am currently, we are recording this after I've finished a full-time job day. We've both finished quite busy jobs, busy work days.
Yeah. I mean, I've always sort of kept teaching at the back of my mind, because after working nearly 3 years now, working 3 years as a tutor, I've picked up quite a lot of tutor training, and also building those sort of relationships with some of the children I work with. It's just fantastic seeing them sort of make that progress. So maybe that's something I want to go into. But again, just sort of not at the moment, I'm not sure where I'm going to go to or what I'm going to do after. So I guess that's why a sort of sandwich year would be beneficial. But also just sort of with challenges for students, I definitely think mental health is a massive challenge, because for some people, just that stigma around mental health and feeling as though you can't talk about it, it's just, it must be for some people just incredibly daunting. And I'd love to be able to do something that has an impact on that.
And I'm going to ask you a really cheeky question, because you mentioned politics in that little bit. And I want to ask you about the magical world of student politics, whether that's in York or nationally or whatever. Could you imagine yourself Matt Rogan for NUS delegate, or Matt Rogan for one of the many SAB roles at the uni? Is that something that you think, possibly that might be a nice way of making a difference?
It has been in the back of my mind, and it is something I have thought about. But as for whether I would go for it, I couldn't say for sure at the moment.
It's a year away from the job market, that's all I'll say. Well,
another reason to think it over. I mean, personally, I'd love to take a year out sort of doing that sort of job, like a SAB role. But of course, like I said, I still don't know what I'm going to be doing. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 3 days' time.
It's all right. You don't need to make an announcement on here, Matt. It's okay. I understand. No, you're white exclusive for us. I had to try, though. Well,
I'll need more money for that.
More money? I don't think we're paying for this one.
I kid.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to leave it there, which is, I think that's been really nice. I've enjoyed that. Got plenty more conversations with people coming up over the next...
It's good to chat to you again.
In a slightly more calm way.
It's good to chat to you again outside of the elections.
I could have did your interview, didn't I? That feels like so long ago.
Yeah, you did both.
I think you and Dan were the first Candidate Interview Night interview we did. Did you enjoy Candidate Interview Night?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I mean, it was great to talk to people and just sort of get ideas across. And sort of, I mean, I've never really done a radio interview before, so that was the first.
So was that okay? Was that okay? Was I all right?
To be honest, I thought what was going to happen is I was going to blank and I was going to swear live on air, and I thought, great, that's going to look great for a potential student union officer role. Doesn't know what they say and just drop an F-bomb.
Oh, well, yep, you just managed to avoid that. And we got to speak again after you and Dan won on election results night in the RKC. All those people being in the same building feels a long way away now.
Yeah.
Well, that is all we've got time for. Thank you very much to Matt Rogan for joining me. And of course, thanks to you for listening in. Next time on The Talk, I'm going to be joined by Harry Clay, former editor of campus newspaper York Vision and current editor of satirical magazine The Lemon Press, to talk about the mad, mad world of student media. But for now, thank you for listening. I've been Matt Wood Perkins. Let's talk later.